It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. We've got Matthew Haynes and Veronica Wheeler from Glenwood Springs High School Air Force JROTC here today. We'll talk with them in just a minute. We've also got John Pettit from the Western Slope Veterans Coalition. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
You were not here last year when we talked about the Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic, and I just found out you had some serious issues.
Yeah. I got a little under the weather.
But you lived through it.
I lived through it. So I'm alive and well. And
did you tell me 9 days in ICU?
Well, I think it was 5 in ICU and 4 in ACU or something. It was 9 days.
You were in the hospital for a while.
I'll give a plug to Valley View. Honest to God, it was just an amazing experience as far as once I was able to really understand what was going on. I was treated like a king there. So.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
And the VA was very good at taking care of me.
Good. Good to hear that.
I'll plug in for the VA as well.
There you go. We're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
And teaching on the mountain again this winter.
Yeah,
right?
I am.
And as part of the next week is the Winter Sports Clinic this year. And as something special for local folks, a guy that we've talked about for the last several years, every time you've come in, John, to talk about the Winter Sports Clinic, this guy has come up, David Riley. For those of you that don't know or don't remember, he was a Coast Guard rescue swimmer, so very physical, very active, and then got an infection through the job, through his service, in his lungs. And, John, I'll let you take the story from there.
He's in a coma, and he got a lung infection, and he went into a coma, and they didn't figure out what was going on until he was in this coma, and they told his wife, amputate his four limbs or he dies. And he had three young kids, and this is 20 years ago this year. So, he woke up with no arms and no legs.
And obviously he struggled with that.
He spent 12 years trying to figure out what the heck he's going to do with his life. And he got his master's degree. He got involved in the churches that wanted him to go out and, you know, do testimonials and all this exotic, esoteric stuff. And he just kept spiraling down. And finally he was suicidal. And the DAV found him, or he found the DAV, and they sent him to the Winter Sports Clinic up in Snowmass. He came to the clinic, and that's where I met him. His first year, it was actually my first year, and we were at the Marine Corps party and having a few beers and started talking. I sat down next to him at this party, and by the end of the night, I mean, he and I had just kind of clicked, and he ended up leaving that clinic up in Snowmass that year as I believe he won the Freedom Award, which is one of the few awards they give out. But one of the outstanding disabled veterans participants. And he went back to the Alabama, where he's from, Mobile, and got involved with the DAV there. And they asked him if he wanted to run for Alabama DAV commander. And he said, sure. So he ran for that and got it. And then about 5 years ago, they asked him if he wanted to run for national commander of the DAV. And last year, he was elected national commander of the DAV. Last August, and sworn in as national commander of the DAV. I mean, you talk about going from the, you know, from the outhouse to the castle, and then how quick a drop that from the castle back to the outhouse it can be, and then back to the castle again. I mean, that's an inspirational story, amazing story.
What an incredible story, and he's going to share that story with the public.
Yep.
A special presentation next Thursday, the 30th. Admission is free. It happens at Glenwood Springs High School.
Sponsored by Western Slope Vets Coalition. We now have our own 501c3, so we're not affiliated with any other 501c3. There's no admission. We're having hors d'oeuvres. We're having our first annual Western Slope Vets Coalition meeting at 4 o'clock or 4:15. And then at 5 o'clock, we're having hors d'oeuvres. And at 6 o'clock, the presentation by Dave Riley.
And all that's open to the public, John?
Open to the public. I would like to see that auditorium full. And in that regard, we are fortunate enough to have the Glenwood Springs Junior ROTC helping us put this event on. They're going to be the color guard. They're going to help us in ushering folks in, maybe a receiving line. They can speak more about what their plans are.
So, Matthew, Veronica, thank you both for being here. Matthew, you're a senior?
Yes, sir.
At Glenwood High School. And then, Veronica, you are a freshman.
Yeah.
Already involved with Junior ROTC in the Air Force. What got you interested in this? What was your experience leading up to this?
Well, I've always been a military boy. I've always loved the military. I'll actually be the first to fully complete enlistment in my family, following in the footsteps of my dad. But I've always been a war boy. I've always loved military and such, so I really wanted to feel what it's like to be in the military, just get a little hint of that sweetness. So,
all right. And, well, congratulations, first of all, in your family. Your family's got to be very proud.
They are very proud.
And you're a senior, so you're looking at have you completed the – are you going to Air Force Academy, or what's your what are your plans for after high school?
So I've already early enlisted into the Army as a Black Hawk mechanic, working my way up to pilot eventually.
Okay.
I ship out July 10th, so not too far away, but still not close enough. So that's where I'm going to pursue probably until retirement.
You think that in a boot camp they're going to give you a hard time about being involved in Air Force ROTC in high school?
Possibly. Maybe not boot camp, maybe AIT. Boot camp is where they break down and build you back up.
Right.
They don't really care where you come from, kind of thing. So.
Right. Not that there would be any, you know, sibling rivalry between the branches of the military, right, John?
No.
Veronica, what about you? As a freshman, you already know that you want to be involved with ROTC.
I don't really know what exactly got me involved. I have a lot of non-immediate family joined in the Air Force and the Army, and I really kind of like the setting or the feeling of being with people that just love it so much, and I'm not really like frontline kind of deal. I don't really know if that's kind of for me, but I like being kind of behind the scenes and just helping out with a lot of things. And
well, there are support roles in the military as well, right, John? I mean, it takes a lot of people to make all that stuff happen.
Yeah, you know, it does. I think it's 4-1.
Really?
4 support to 1 combat troop. At least in a combat situation.
Wow. Does that sound right to you, Matthew?
It sounds about right, yeah.
The other cool thing that I didn't realize before you guys came in, so Veronica, you are a cadet staff sergeant?
Correct.
And then Matthew, you're a cadet lieutenant colonel?
Correct.
What does that mean in JROTC?
So you have different ranks that you go up through. As you progress through the years, it's just like the actual military. So you start out as an airman basic, you work your way all the way up to the highest rank you can get. So there's airman first class, senior airman, et cetera, all the way up. She is a staff sergeant, so she is still an enlisted rank, while as I'm a lieutenant colonel, I am an officer technically.
Well, but even a staff sergeant at freshman, when did you start JROTC?
At the beginning of the year.
So already she's advanced. How do you do that? By attending meetings and, I mean, does it involve taking tests and that kind of thing as well?
Kind of tests, not okay. Necessarily like written tests or anything like that. But we do have positions that you apply for staff. So if you're a part of the staff, you immediately get ranked up to a higher rank to basically show the appreciation of, hey, thank you for helping me and my staff with this. So.
And get you used to the idea of the military culture, if you will, assuming that you want to enlist at some point.
Yeah.
How did this come about?
We were actually approached here by John. He came up to us and asked if we could help out and present the colors and for this event, and I kind of want to further that and provide doormen, escorts, cleanup crew, et cetera. I want to help as much as we can with this event.
Now, as part of your being an officer, being a cadet lieutenant colonel, is that kind of, how would you say, your responsibility to decide those things and coordinate all of that?
So my position currently is the squadron commander, so I'm in charge of all cadets. Okay. The only people above me are my instructors, so Chief Nuneman and Colonel Akins. So it is my duty and responsibility to delegate and make sure we get what we need to get done.
So I guess in a way of, I guess my layman way of thinking, we would be third in command, really. The buck stops here, right? unless it goes on to the instructors.
Correct.
Okay. Again, everyone is invited to Glenwood Springs High School on Thursday, March 30th to see David Riley, the National Commander of Disabled American Veterans, and his presentation. Again, I can only imagine how heartwarming and inspirational it would be. Again, a veteran of the Coast Guard, a quadruple amputee, and now National Commander of the DAV. I'm sure he's going to be a busy guy next week as well with the Winter Sports Clinic going on all week. As John, as you said, I'm sure he has a lot of duties. In addition, of course, to the public speaking engagement, again, next Thursday night, March 30th, hors d'oeuvres and that kind of thing from 5 to 6, and then he'll talk after that. Again, it's a free event, and everyone is welcome to attend. We'll take a quick break, come back, and visit a little bit more in a minute. You are listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with John Pettit from the Western Slope Veterans Coalition and Matthew Haynes, Veronica Wheeler, both cadets in the Glenwood Springs High School Air Force Junior ROTC program. Again, they're helping coordinate, helping with logistics of a special presentation by Disabled American Veterans Commander David Riley, Thursday night, March 30th at Glenwood Springs High School in the auditorium, right, in the Jeannie Miller Theater. Again, this is free for everyone to attend. David Riley, a quadruple amputee, no arms, no legs. And you said this happened about 20 years ago, John?
It happened in 97, so yeah, it'll be okay. 19, 20 years ago.
And took him a while to reconcile all of that and what it would mean to him. Again, as you pointed out before we got started, you go from a Coast Guard rescue swimmer.
Yeah.
You know, 100% great.
Jumping out of helicopters 50, 60 feet above the water.
Yep. And to a quadruple amputee.
Overnight. Literally overnight.
And so I can only imagine how inspiring his story would be. Again, everyone is invited to attend. You don't need to pre-register anything like that. They'll have some light hors d'oeuvres and that kind of thing before. John, you mentioned that your first time participating in the Winter Sports Clinic was also David Riley's first time.
Yeah.
I cannot help but go back to the very first time you came in to talk to us about the Winter Sports Clinic. You shared with me your stories about, not specifically about Vietnam, but more about coming back home and not wanting to talk about any of this, not wanting any part of events like the Winter Sports Clinic. You would have none of it. Yeah. And that all changed, maybe not totally because of those conversations you had with David Riley, but just the general atmosphere and everything that happens during the Winter Sports Clinic. And now you're a ski instructor.
Yeah.
You're helping other servicemen and women.
Yeah, I love it. It's been just a I got involved actually back in the military. I had a setback, huge setback, and didn't really understand what the problem was. But came out here just trying to figure life out. And that was in 96 or 99. And I was a successful business person. I had life, living large, and just the wheels came off. And come to find out, it was all this survivor guilt, if you will. And so I came out here and got involved in the with the VA down in Grand Junction. And at about simultaneously with that, our hill, I was on a hill for almost 4 months in Nam and in Khe Sanh. And the fellow that was our commanding officer on the hill was having a Navy Cross being presented to him. So he found me, and I found three other Marines that were in my gun section. And we, plus 29 others that he found, went to this party, if you will. He had a three-day event for us, and it was amazing.
So you might say you guys took care of him, and then he took care of you later on. Matthew, Veronica, as you listen to John tell this story, obviously none of the rest of us in the room have experienced anything like that. You have any thoughts about that and about what that might mean to you 10, 20, 30 years from now?
Well, you never know what life is going to bring to you. Life is always unexpected. You never know what's to come. So in cases like this, it takes really brave and courageous men and women to persevere and push through with these difficult situations. And I really honor and respect them for that.
Absolutely. Veronica?
It's really inspiring to hear the stories of the men and women that went and fought for us and kept us safe in America. And it's extremely inspiring. And I have a lot of friends, and I know a lot of people that are planning on going, and maybe they haven't joined the RTC, so they don't really know what to expect. So it's really crazy and inspiring to see what these people plan to do with their future.
Do you get to hear stories like this as part of your JROTC program on a regular basis? I mean, do you have guest speakers that come in and talk to you about these kind of things?
We occasionally have guest speakers, but they rarely ever talk about their previous war experiences. I mean, we do usually have pilots that retired from. We had a ma'am that came in from the Navy, and she's been flying all Boeing planes from a 727 all the way to a 757, I believe.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. She came in and did a presentation on that, but rarely do they ever speak on their previous experiences.
What would you say to any young people, maybe incoming freshmen, maybe eighth graders now that are considering taking part again? Glenwood Spring, to my knowledge, Glenwood is the only high school in the area that has a JROTC program at this time through the Air Force. But what would you say to an eighth grader that may be interested in taking part in this program?
Well, we have quite a lot of things that are very interesting about our program and quite a lot of fun, actually. We have recently started up a marksmanship team. They are working on building their targets this week or next week, and we will be ordering rifles sometime this year, maybe next year. Marksman team basically is air-compressed rifles that they go and compete and shoot against other ROTCs and basically become the best marksman.
We also have a color guard team. Both of us are actually a part of that team. I used to be captain of the girls team. What we do is we have football games, basketball games, really any events at the school, and they ask us to come and present the colors. And we do a lot of practice after school to keep our teams in shape.
So during the singing of the anthem is what you'll present the colors?
Correct.
Typically, yeah. I have often watched color guards and wondered to myself, how can it be? You guys must practice a lot to get it to that level.
To get into that precise uniformity, it takes a lot of time, especially starting from scratch. It takes a good few months to get them up to the basics and comfortable with everything. And then that first event, when it's your very first event, you get all nervous, you're shaky, you're like sweating a little bit, you got the cold sweats, you're like, oh no. But you push through, and it's so rewarding in the end.
And those of us that are watching have no idea, because you guys do it so well.
Thank you.
Matthew, as you're looking at moving on and enlisting in the Army, and you're talking about these new programs that the JROTC at Glenwood are planning, and you said that maybe the rifles won't get ordered before you graduate. Are you going to have a hard time letting go of that? I mean, are you going to try and come back and check on them from time to time?
I'm definitely going to come back and check on them from time to time. JROTC is the main reason that I thoroughly love school. I don't particularly like some of my classes, but JROTC is my favorite class. I will always come back. Seniors graduate 2 weeks early, so we get out around May 17th. So my plan is when I get out of school and all the younger chitlins are still in school, I'm going to come and visit them occasionally.
Veronica, thank you. Where do you see yourself in 3 years from now when you're a senior? And you think you'll also hold the rank of cadet lieutenant colonel maybe?
I am extremely shy in front of some people. I get pretty nervous. I'm not really a loud talker to many people, so maybe not the most top position, not squadron commander, but I could probably be like his right-hand man or something like that to help him out.
More of an operational role.
Yeah, there's actually a position called ops officer, and we have like a first sergeant, and that's kind of where I'm projecting myself.
I hear you. There are benefits. It's a double-edged sword, put it that way. No pun intended. I guess that would be more of a Marine thing, wouldn't it, John? Again, everyone is invited to hear David Riley speak. He's the National Commander of Disabled American Veterans, a quadruple amputee. You can hear his story Thursday night, March 30th at Glenwood Springs High School. Admission is free. The presentation will be from 5 to 6 p.m. with a Western Slope Veterans Coalition meeting starting at 4.
4 o'clock, we're having our supporters of Western Slope Vets Coalition meeting, first annual meeting, and then 5 to 6 hors d'oeuvres and meet and greet, if you will. You know, you can come and meet David. And then at 6 o'clock, he'll have his presentation, and then we'll have a little Q&A after.
Okay, so he'll be there to answer questions as well.
Yeah.
All right.
It's amazing.
We'll be back in just a minute to wrap things up. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting about a special presentation by Disabled American Veterans National Commander David Riley, Thursday night, March 30th at Glenwood Springs High School. Again, a little reception, some hors d'oeuvres from 5 to 6, and then he'll be speaking after that and answering some questions. John Pettit from the Western Slope Veterans Coalition, a founding member of the Western Slope Veterans Coalition, is here. You've got to feel proud, by the way, where the Veterans Coalition is, John. You went from a group that met once a week in the library in Glenwood to now this valley-wide organization, and you have your own 501c3 designation from the IRS.
We've come a long way, and it was the Dick Merritt, myself, Annie Davies, I think she was in this program, and another fellow from Aspen, Fred Venrick. The four of us met one night and at Juicy Lucy's, and what inspired it was the two suicides that we had in the valley of two Marines. We just said, we got to do something. We've got to get some way that local veterans can reach out to somebody. And it may not be the VA, you know, initially, you know. So that's how it all started. And today we have our coffee and donuts at the library once a week on Thursdays from 10 to noon. And it's open to all veterans and their families. And then we have this event coming up for our first year as a organization with our own 501c3. So.
We visited earlier with Matthew and Veronica, who are involved in Glenwood Springs High School Air Force Junior ROTC. Paul Nuneman is the Chief Master Sergeant, Air Force JROTC instructor. Tell us about the Junior ROTC program at Glenwood High School.
This is our third year. Our first year was school year 2014. I approached Mr. Freeman, Mr. Wild, and Craig Denny about the program. We sat down and discussed it, what the objectives were, what's involved, and how it benefits youth of today and the community as a whole. And Mr. Freeman signed off on it, and we started school year 2014. We started that first year with 20 kids, Jessica Tuttle being one of them, who's now at the Air Force Academy. And this is our third year, the beginning of our third year. We started out with about 85 kids in the program. So it just continues to grow.
That's 85 kids. That's right around 20% of the student body, isn't it?
About 10%. There's about 950 kids
okay.
there.
Okay. All right.
It fluctuates, but yeah, about 10%.
Is that common? Is that about average?
That's the program goal. But okay. yes, that is about average. Okay. For schools that are 1,000 and less, it's 10% of the population. For those that are 1,000 and more, it's just 100 kids. So we're right on par with where we're supposed to be with regards to what the expectation of the program is.
We learned when we were talking with Matthew, he mentioned that his desire is actually to enlist in the Army. Obviously, in a perfect world, all these kids are interested in just the Air Force, right? But what is the benefit to the students? Maybe they don't even go on to enlist in the armed services. What's the benefit to these kids?
So the goal statement for the high school is to set these young men and women up for success afterwards. If that means going to college, then they're prepared to go to college. And that's really our goal. My kids and the other instructors' children, they're in college, and we're glad to see Jesse go off to the academy. But really, just to set these kids up for success, if that means going to college or going into the workforce or going into the military, that's what we're there for, is to help them build their resume. So the objective of ROTC is community service, getting them involved in the community with no expectation of return. We serve Smiling Goat Ranch. We work on the ranch routinely, which works with autistic children and horses, as well as veterans with PTSD and horses.
That's also a big favorite of Colonel Merritt's, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Colonel Merritt got the ball rolling on that for us, as well as Grace Healthcare. We go there annually. We've adopted Grace Healthcare with Thanksgiving. We set up, have lunch with the residents, and then clean up afterwards. And then also we do, at Grace Healthcare, we do Alive Inside. With Miss Arlene Ginn, she helped us get that started, Alive Inside, and that's where the cadets put music on headsets and then deliver them to the residents there as well. And apparently music kind of helps them through their day and gets them talking and motivated again. So again, character development and community service is what we're about.
What are the actual requirements? Obviously, you know, boot camp in the military is a much different thing. You know, boot camp, as Matthew kind of mentioned, you know, it's all intended to make everybody a unit, because if you're going into the military, it's very likely there's going to be a time your life is going to depend on those men and women around you. But at the high school level, at the JROTC level, it's not exactly the same thing, though you are trying to prepare them if they do decide to go into the military, right? So what are the time requirements, and what are these kids required to do?
So in the classroom itself, we have aerospace science, where we teach the history of aviation all the way through ground school, pilot training, all the way into space. And then we have a leadership education element, which is basically business 101. We start them out with chain of command, responsibilities, duties, managing programs, managing each other, as well as leading each other. And then one day a week, they're required to wear their blue uniform, in which case they get inspected on, and they inspect themselves. We have each class has an element leader. He takes roll, he briefs the announcements, and then he does the uniform inspections. One day a week, they're required to wear that uniform. We also participate in the presidential fitness test. Fitness is a big part of the program as well, and we PT one day a week. So 2 days of academics and one day a week of physical education training, because we're on a block schedule.
If anyone is listening right now and they'd like to share this information with their kids and maybe have a conversation about becoming part of Air Force JROTC, what could they do?
Simply reach out to the high school and let them know they're interested. Folks from Carbondale as well as Basalt are eligible to join. Anybody within the district can join this unit and be federally funded to do so.
And there's no cost for this, right? There's no charge?
There's no charge, correct.
How much would ground school be if you paid for it?
Oh, several thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's just from that standpoint, if your kids are interested in aviation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, both of us, Colonel Akins is an Air Force Academy graduate and a C-130 pilot, and then I'm an Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University graduate and a private pilot as well. So, and I flew in the KC-135 as an in-flight refueler. So between the two of us, we have 50-plus years of aviation, commercial and civilian, so we can really help them out with that. We have a cadet orientation flight program where they actually go up with me in a Cessna 182, and we kind of do a military pre-brief, then we fly the mission, and then we get back down and do a debrief just like we would the military. So it's about a three-hour ordeal from start to finish. So,
What do you think, John? It's airplanes are not your thing, I know.
Well, but it's just a heck of an opportunity for young people to get involved and, you know, as far as a career path is concerned, to help them figure out what they want to do with their lives, you know, instead of getting out of high school and saying, oh, now what?
Sure.
Absolutely. And they have a great resume builder. Again, if they want to go to college,
I have
a military
to think
academy.
This would look,
yeah.
I mean, I can't think of many extracurricular activities that would look better than JROTC.
Yeah. It looks good on a resume, whether you're going to school or after high school or not. It looks good on the resume.
Sure. Again, if you would like to attend the presentation by the National Commander of Disabled American Veterans, it's next Thursday, March 30th. Hors d'oeuvres and the pre-briefing and the meet and greet will be between 5 and 6, and then shortly thereafter, David's presentation again. He is a Coast Guard veteran, a quadruple amputee, and now the National Commander of Disabled American Veterans. Sure to be. Have you seen his presentation before, John? Either one of you?
Not since, you know, I've been with him. He's been here. He's has spoken at our Elks Lodge. About, I believe it was 3 years ago, maybe four. He went up to CMC, and they had a little opportunity for him to speak up there. I wasn't able to go to that one because I was teaching skiing, but it was during that week.
You're looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, yes. And I take him deer hunting. I'm his caregiver during deer hunting. I don't shoot. I go fishing. And I stay away from those guns, you know, the weapons. But, you know, I've helped him. You know, I go down and help him at his house and, you know, when I can. And
sure.
So, you know, we've become pretty close. He's really an extremely nice man.
John, Paul, thank you both for being here. I have heard so many times we talked about this. Just saying thank you for your service when you don't really know what that entails seems kind of empty, but I don't really have anything other than to say thank you. So look forward to seeing you again soon. All the best, and we'll see you Thursday night.
Great. Thank you very much, Gabe.
Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.